This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Some of the nation's most powerful tech leaders met on Capitol Hill last week and agreed the government should intervene against the existential threats posed by artificial intelligence. But what form congressional action should take remains unclear. Joining me now to discuss what meaningful AI regulations could look like is University of Cincinnati School of Public and International Affairs Director Richard Hartnett. Welcome back, Richard.
Thanks for having me back, Lucy.
The University of Cincinnati is a financial supporter of Cincinnati Public Radio. Do you have questions or concerns about AI or government regulation of AI? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org. Richard, you are always all over these AI conversations, this policymaking. What are these tech leaders saying about some of the major risks and opportunities when it comes to AI?
Yeah, so we've had some leading voices, folks that your listeners may know, Elon Musk, for example, who say, you know, this is really going to be civilizationally changing us, right? That this is dangerous, and if we don't get a handle on this, now, meanwhile, he's also propagating the tech development of this. And then there's folks on the other end of this that say, well, you know, slow down. We've been worried about this for a long time. This is sort of normal tech development. We develop in market in IT, right? So that people test these things, so GPT chat, things of that nature, and that we'll just be able to, you know, manage it as we go along. And so those are sort of the two poles, right? Those are really very distinct poles,
yeah,
right?
That's a big spectrum.
The world, you know, the world is under threat to, you know, this is, we've got this handled.
Yeah, it's interesting. The people who say we've got this handled compare it to kind of horse and buggy times. You know, technology is always disruptive. Any kinds of advances make people uncomfortable. Where are you on that spectrum?
So I think we've been framing this wrong, actually. So I don't know where I fit on this spectrum, except to say that I think the change that is coming is significant, right? So, you know, if we open up our history books, we tend to define things by ages, right? We had the Stone Age, right? The Bronze Age, the Industrial Age. This is going to be in the history books, right? This will be another age, the information age. People use that term. But we've been thinking about what we call AI for a while as sort of a step function, like something's going to fundamentally change. And so my own view is that we should really actually stop talking about artificial intelligence altogether and understand that this is really about what I call algorithmic agency, that what we are developing is a capacity to advise and decide at a speed, scope, and scale that actually may challenge the best observer and decider on the planet, which are humans, right? But we're the ones creating this new thing, right? I'd go as far as to say potentially a species of decision maker. But why I say that that's not been part of the conversations, most people are thinking about this as a tool, right? A software is something I go in to buy and then use versus this is actually bringing in a different decision-making model, an entity that can do it over time, right? Pretty quickly at scale. What roles do we want them to have, right? So there's a whole category of advisory type of AI, if you will. And then there's things that will actually have them make decisions. So I'm sure a bunch of your listeners got in their car today and some of them went to someplace new that they hadn't been before. And they just put in the address into their GPS. And then this voice told them, make a left, make a right, make a left, make a right. Did they actually look at the map before they left? Very few of us do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you had done at that point is given agency to this algorithm to basically direct you. You were manually moving the car, but who was actually in control of the direction? It was actually the algorithm. So we put that algorithm in a decision-making role at that point. Mm. They decided what route to take me from point A to point B. That, you know, we don't think of it in those terms. We think about it as convenience and I just need to get there.
Right, right. Well, we have another guest joining us now. I want to welcome Wood, Heron & Evans, LLP partner, Tom Humphrey. Thanks for being with us, Tom.
Glad to be here.
And I'll mention also that Wood, Heron & Evans is a financial supporter of Cincinnati Public Radio as well. Richard, I want to come back to you with a quick question. You know, I mentioned these technology leaders met with senators on Capitol Hill last week. What do you think are the chances that government officials can craft a regulatory system that makes sense for AI?
You know, what was the most interesting thing to me, Lucy, last week was that there seemed to be a general consensus around not if, but how and what. So that's actually, you know, a shift, I think, in the right direction. So there's very few voices out there that are saying, let's just leave this alone. And that, as you know, you and I have talked about cybersecurity in the past, that's been the problem in cybersecurity, right? We've actually, in the policy realm, just kind of left it alone. And so that, to me, is one of the big takeaways from last week. There was a Senate Commerce hearing on this, and then you had, as you said, this gathering. So the real questions are how and what to regulate.
Yeah.
And they're now developing some interesting models. The Europeans have floated one. Senator Hawley and Blumenthal, who you don't actually usually put in the same sentence together, are working collaboratively on actually an oversight agency kind of model. So there is a sense that there's at least some momentum toward not leaving this alone.
Yeah. Tom, what are some of the legal challenges when it comes to regulating AI?
So I guess, first of all, my perspective is from a patent lawyer from an intellectual property law firm. And so, you know, as I look at this question of what is artificial intelligence and what is it becoming, we actually already have in intellectual property some very fundamental decisions that have already been made about whether artificial intelligence, quote unquote, is or should be considered creative or have personhood. We've already had the decision that artificial intelligence cannot make inventions, which can be patented, and we've had the decision that artificial intelligence cannot make works of authorship that can be copyrighted. Both of them have, you know, both decisions have disqualified artificial intelligence from, I would say, personhood, or from, you know, the capabilities that we associate with personhood. And it does feel like that may be the first phase of regulating AI in the sense of cutting back on what an artificial intelligent being or artificially intelligent program can acquire in terms of rights and in terms of, you know, the vestiges of personhood. I believe that that's probably the right decision, even though it's very frustrating to someone who uses AI to develop, you know, for example, a new pharmaceutical or a new, you know, methodology that cannot then be patented, or develops artwork that cannot then be copyrighted. I'm not sure that a regulatory structure that goes beyond, you know, the issue of personhood can do much more than we've ever been able to do with computer-aided, let's say, you know, expert systems, which we don't really call artificial intelligence. They leverage capability of human beings and expand what a human being can do, but, you know, we've never sought to regulate them because of the way that they leverage and create sort of a superhuman capability in what's already a human. I'm not sure we can do anything with artificial intelligence any differently than we've done with computers generally or expert systems without, you know, running afoul of basic concepts of, you know, capitalism and you know, maximum economic development. We have regulated already the issue of personhood, and I think that is correct. We should definitely consider artificial intelligence to lack personhood and not have the vestiges of personhood.
I want to remind our listeners we're talking about what meaningful AI regulations could look like. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk@wvxu.org. What do you think about that, Richard? What Tom was just saying, that whole question of personhood and the legal
Tom, you know, laid that out quite nicely, and I think that is, in fact, the conundrum of where the technology is taking us, right? So there's also this point that this is not a static situation, but we are looking at a technology that is evolving and evolving at a sort of rapid pace. And so this goes back to this question of, from a legal standpoint, personhood versus a role-based framing of this of agency. So the question is what am I having this thing, regardless of what we want to call it, do? And there's two sort of, you know, key elements to this. Is it advisory to the human, right? So is it just making me better informed and I retain the decision-making control? And there's a whole category, right, of then legal and regulatory types of things that might be involved if we looked at it from that role-based standpoint. But there are other roles. So when I marry that GPS I was talking about before with the actual manual control of that car, we call them autonomous vehicles, it becomes a chauffeured transportation system, right? We're just going to sit in the back and something else is making all the decisions about how to get from A to B, not only just the direction, but how to move this vehicle, right, with me in it. And so where I would think about a chauffeur, we use that term and we think about a person, we're giving that decision-making authority about how to move that vehicle to this algorithm. So where that fits as not advisor, but decision-maker, I've handed over my agency to this, that to me is this in this category. I don't have to personify this if I understand it from a role-based standpoint that I've now given decision-making authority to the algorithm. Is that a different regulatory and legal structure that needs to be put in place to manage decision-making AI over advisory AI?
Well, we've talked about how different people view this. We have we can hear a little bit about how Senator Chuck Schumer views this whole situation.
And only government can be there to put in guardrails. Because even though some of the companies in this room said they were going to try to implement some of these things themselves, and many had joined the voluntary guidelines that the White House issued, it's clear that there will be rogue companies and other companies that will not go along on their own. And that will bring down everybody. They'll go seek a lowest common denominator. So it is 100% clear that we also need maybe even more government innovation in coming up with sustainable guidelines, which means the government putting guardrails in place to deal with issues like bias and worker education and jobs and even some of the more doomsday scenarios that were presented.
Did you want to speak to that, Richard?
Yeah, just again, it's a framing thing. You know, when Senator Schumer talks about guardrails or safeguards, we're looking at this and framing it in a very negative context, right? Like this thing, again, can go Terminator-esque on us. But there's so much opportunity for us being able to leverage this algorithmic modeling that I'd rather frame it as these are basic standards that we're setting for the market. We do that all the time, right? In fact, the tech industry is one of the least, right, in terms of market standards that we have. And so what do we know about capitalist markets is that they adjust to the standards in front of them. So having this conversation about setting market standards doesn't have to be framed in this catastrophic or dire kind of thing. It's the normal, it's normalizing, right, for this particular industry and the industries that are going to emerge from it, what the market should look like. And then they will respond to that, right? And success will beget more success, and failure will tend to lead us to people adjusting to the successful pathways.
Yeah. Tom, you know, we just heard that clip from Senator Schumer. He was talking during a break with this in this big closed-door meeting that he had with leaders of these technology companies and some other senators. Do you think, are these senators getting the right people to give them advice on how to regulate these companies? I mean, these are the people saying, here's how you should regulate my company. Are they going about that the right way?
It looks like regulatory capture, doesn't it, when you have the people who are going to be regulated telling you how to regulate them. So that is a concern. I would say, though, that some of the doomsday sort of scenarios, I think I also want to put my own tamp down on doomsday scenarios. What artificial intelligence as it now exists is a predictor of the way that humans would act or behave, and statistically, what would be the output of a human actor and substituting that with a artificial intelligent actor. So, you know, it doesn't produce anything that doesn't already exist in some form. It doesn't create in the way that humans actually create. It doesn't do things that nobody has done before. It only replicates by prediction what humans have already done. And going back to your original question, it does seem to me there is a need for guardrails around how artificial intelligence is used. But those guardrails really need to be set by or with a mind to the consumers. And in particular, these discussions of, you know, artificial intelligent agents driving vehicles, you know, there's an important framework to be set there, and it's been mostly the Wild West. What are the standards for how a artificially intelligent vehicle is supposed to behave? What scenario do you present it with and then test to see if it makes a correct decision, or at least, you know, the best life-saving decision in a particular circumstance? And then if it does not, what is the structure for liability? Who is liable? Is the person who nominally could have been driving the car liable for using the autonomous capability, or is the manufacturer liable, or where does the liability rule work? Right now, we're in a situation where that has to be made up by the courts, which is the worst possible way to make that up. Mm-hmm. So we need to have, we really need to have more consumer perspective, or let's say, you know, constituent perspective, when we start trying to figure out what a regulatory framework should be, because it's the consumers ultimately who get the benefit and also get the possible, you know, detriment of, you know, malfunctions.
Yeah. Speaking of customers, we have an email from Bob. Bob emails, generative AI is different. I use ChatGPT on a regular basis, and I work with companies to deploy AI. The problem with ChatGPT is it can make up wrong answers as easily as correct answers. There was the example of the lawyer that used ChatGPT to look up cases. The citations were fictional. Yeah. The problem comes when AI gives you the wrong answer for issues that can't be verified as easily, and you can't tell how it arrived at the answer. AI can point you to the possible correct folding of proteins for drugs, but it is a different story when AI is deciding if you have lung cancer. False positives are the core of the problem in AI. Richard, you want to speak to that?
Yeah, I think this gets to, so what does regulation look like? First is there's just got to be more transparency in AI development. What is the data that they're being trained on? Because they're only as good as the data that they're being trained on. Secondly, what sort of a labeling system? How do I know that the product that I'm looking at is actually AI generated versus human created? And will that be differentiated? Well, maybe, you know, people are talking about sort of some sort of labeling system on that. And then how do we deal with failures in security? How do we deal with failures in accuracy, right? And is there an oversight agency that's going to deal with that? Or are we left up to deal with it on our own, which wouldn't be a great place to be?
Yeah, or in the courts, as Tom said, which isn't ideal. I've been talking with
It's worth saying that the courts have already, because of that very famous brief that was written by AI, including totally made up citations, the courts have already undertaken.
Yeah. I'm sorry to cut you off. I've been talking with University of Cincinnati School of Public and International Affairs Director Richard Harknett and Wood, Heron & Evans LLP partner Tom Humphrey. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thanks, Lucy.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Asiya Johnson. Technical director is Stephen Baum. I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening. I'm Lucy May. On the next Cincinnati Edition, Ohio's economy is hot right now, according to one report, and it's good news for workers after years of favoring employers. But as for the reasons why, there's debate. Then, film critic T.T. Sternenzi has a review of the Toronto International Film Festival, Without the Stars. Tuesday at noon on Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.